tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Helix fans! We're talking Plan B. See, I can sing too. It's not just Matt Lieberman.
It's not just Liz.
See, we can sing too. Thank you guys for tuning in to this, the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Helix, episode 211, Plan B. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Joining me today, Stephen Lemieux.
Hey, guys.
Thank you for tuning in. Sorry if this is coming to you a little late. We had some scheduling issues, but
I got
here as quick as possible.
I'll clear it up for you guys. We were going to have Jordan Hayes on yesterday, who plays Sarah Jordan on the show. She got a last-minute call to do something out of state, so she had to fly out. We're trying to get her to call in tonight at 8, but again, last minute, they needed her on set, so... Unfortunately, that happens when you're an in-demand actress like Jordan Hayes, and we don't fault anyone for it. I think it's great that she's getting work. That's awesome. We are still planning on having Kira Zagorski next week, so we can officially say
exciting.
Kira Zagorski for
Yay!
Next Monday. Hooray. And then Steven Maeda for the finale.
Exciting.
So we still got
exciting
two episodes
stuff
left after tonight.
Yeah, be sure to tune in. And while you're at it, go on to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV and be sure to subscribe to this and all of the other podcasts here at AfterBuzz TV.
Do it.
You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud. Be sure to rate, comment, because those things are always helpful. And you can also tweet at us throughout the week with the hashtag ABTVHelix, or even better, hashtag Ziz. And I don't think did anyone find the Ziz?
I couldn't find it. I watched it again. I took an hour out of my time to watch it again.
Come on, internet.
And it's a good episode, so I didn't really mind, but like, I couldn't hear it.
I expected more of you, internet. I was thinking it was when all the kids were yelling. Would be a place to bury it.
Maybe. There was like a few minutes where I had to like look away for a second, which is all probably right when it was. I'll have to
probably
watch it again. And put it on Vine and put it on Instagram.
I was too busy watching Plan B to rewatch last week's episode.
You always got to have a Plan B. You got Forever Fetus and you got Plan B.
Well, there's a lot of Plan Bs
happening
at work here.
Do you feel like, I feel like Peter Farragut is Plan B to Brother Michael. You got doing the eye color surgery instead of implanting the fetus is Plan B for Amy's storyline.
No, that's Plan A. That's a really good plan.
No, it's Plan B.
No, that's all part of the main plan, because the plan wasn't to put the fetus in her
plan
and make
B,
her actually mortal.
Plan B is also the coast.
This is the first time a Plan B would be used to impregnate somebody.
There you go. The other Plan B is the Coast Guard, because they're on Plan B, because Plan A will send the people in and then evacuate them.
Well, let's talk about that one. Because so the Coast Guard / the CDC combination team, they sent in these forces to extract Peter Farragut and his team to help find a cure.
Exactly.
That was Plan A. They got in there, and then the whole place went nuts.
And nobody really had a plan, because you'd think there'd be a Plan B a while ago, but nobody had a plan, and then now we land on Plan B, which is let's kill everyone.
Well, yeah, let's use this crazy death gas.
We saw monkeys!
We got a monkey! We got one monkey.
One monkey that didn't last very long.
I literally, when that came on screen, I was in my apartment, and I shouted, monkey!
So the show is now frozen monkeys. It has burned monkeys. It has dissected monkeys. Now it has officially melted a monkey.
Yeah, why do we Helix, why do you hate monkeys? We love monkeys.
Because they're competing with 12 monkeys. And you know what? It's just...
They're mad about it.
This is their revenge.
They're like, fine, we'll have a monkey. 12 monkeys.
I'll make my own monkey with blackjack and hookers.
well, this had black, definitely. Black Death.
Black Death.
Yeah, it was that was nuts.
We get this scene where they melt the monkey.
Yeah.
You just got to melt the monkey sometimes. And he's like, I'm going to take all this gas.
Why did you have to demonstrate it on a monkey? If it kills everything, you could have put a tree in there or like a gerbil. I'm not saying anything bad about gerbils, but a monkey.
I know. Any monkey can go get killed by nerve gas.
No, but like you could use something small and like less intelligent and like.
Oh, so you're saying that a monkey's life is worth more than a gerbil's life or a mouse's life?
Yes.
That is insensitive, Zach. But yeah, I see your point. Like, why don't they just use mice instead? No, let's melt a monkey. Let's melt this thing.
Like lab rats. Like, that's what they're there for, right? If they're bred for the lab. I'm going to get some hate mail from animal activists. I apologize.
I'm going to say
I got started down this track.
We just decided to melt a monkey.
Yeah. Either way, it's bad. No need to kill all of these animals.
Exactly. Well, so they melt the monkey. It's a gas that burns everything. It melts it to death. So they decide to take a warehouse full of the stuff because let's just be the government and just overuse the stuff when really you just need a misting of it.
I mean, to be fair, they probably needed all of it for this.
I guess, yeah. Let's just destroy this entire island.
Yeah, because they had like a team of like six planes like cross-coding the island.
I do have to say, though, I think napalm would work better.
It's like you can run from napalm. That's the difference. Like,
but apparently you can just bar off the windows and this, and an hour later, everyone's safe inside.
Yeah.
Maybe
the better plan would have been to use a combination first round of napalm and then blanket with the death gas as a backup.
And maybe a little nuke dessert.
But I think the other thing is that this virus, they don't really know everything about it. And the idea is you don't know if fire can kill it. Heat may not kill it. It could help it thrive for all they know.
And maybe they just really wanted to kill the bees. Maybe that was like their target was more the plant life and the bees.
Exactly, because it kills any biological element. So that, in theory, would also include bacteria and viruses.
So let's tie this in with Peter's storyline, because his kind of begins and ends on it.
Yeah. Crazy Pete.
Crazy Pete.
Oh my God.
Pete talks to Dr. Double Mycot Dick Texas, and he's like, I'm going to let you go, because these people... You're really here to take down Alan. You're really here to take down Alan. Yeah, I know, Peter. I think I will.
Not everybody talks like Batman.
Everybody talks like Batman. But, so he lets Dr. Double Mycot Dick Texas go, and then he takes the guard and kills the guard and stabs him several hundred times.
Yeah, that was a level of crazy. Like, look, last week we saw Pete take this bizarre turn where he... Like, a guy that, like, yeah, he's not a good guy, necessarily. We know he's been undercover, but, like, I didn't think him capable of just cutting a woman's wrists. And then this week, he doesn't just kill the guy. You could stab him one time in the heart, and he'd die. He stabbed him about 20 times. He fell on my knife, officer, 20 times. I don't know how it happened.
He prison-shanked a bitch. Like, that's what he did. He just stabbed him and kept stabbing.
That was a level, like... That's a deep psychotic break to do that. Because, like, it's one thing to be said for killing somebody. Like, we watched Sergio kill somebody he had respect for when he killed Doreen. Mm-hmm. But he did it quickly in one move. He didn't, like, feel the need to inject air bubbles in every spot. Just easy. Done.
I just feel like all the characters on, like, so far... have lost all sense of pacing with their arcs.
Well, I mean, if we look at Pete as having had, at some point in this trip, a true psychotic break. I'm not sure what it was. I guess it was being in the Oubliette. Like, caused him to have a psychotic break of some kind. Because that's when I see him stabbing this guy on the ground, like, merciless, just like, over and over and over again. That's clinical insanity.
I just would have liked to see it have a little bit more suspicion as to who it was.
Yeah.
Because we already have, like, within the same episode, Peter is already outed as they know he's the one who did this. So there's no real mystery to his character anymore because everyone just knows he's a murderer and crazy now. Like, there's no sense of Alan not for sure knowing if he's the one who did this or not, or staying the one who can kind of trust, even though they're at odds. Like, the fact that Alan's already okay with understanding that Peter is capable of ripping a guy's eyes out and doing all these terrible things, like, it's kind of crazy, and I kind of would have liked the dynamic of the not knowing how crazy Peter really is.
Yeah, well, now, I mean, the thing is, like, when I look at him and, like, the pattern of this episode, he's actually, maybe he's even not, so like, that the oubliette put him into a very, like, almost, like, bendable state where, like, he was going to latch on to whatever came next.
Yeah.
And what came next was Anne, like, manipulating him like a master cult leader. She has found a way to, she, like, the way that she manipulates him in this episode is actually...
She learned from the best.
Yeah, she, like, learned from Michael. Like, she doesn't make him think that she's in charge. She's not taking power. She is leading from the passenger seat. She's driving from the passenger side.
So, he starts murdering people, or he murders that guy and hangs him up by the tree, has his eyes hanging out and stuff, and Alan's immediately like, it's surgical. It must be Peter.
Yeah, well, I mean, it couldn't be a mycotic. They don't, they're not like,
yeah.
They kill a lot of people, but they're not serial killers. They're not.
So,
yeah.
Then we see the CDC people, or not the CDC, the Coast Guard people are locking down all the windows, taping everything up, and they know that it's coming. And here's what I don't get. They know that the planes are coming with the gas, but they don't already have their suits on. Like, why aren't they doing this in their suits? Because then when it starts coming, they're like, let's rush to put on these suits that are really complicated to put on. And then they just drop the suits and start running.
I guess the idea is that they can move a lot faster. And they, like, to, in order to really seal it up, they, well,
they can
move
they can
fast,
die a lot but, faster.
Yeah.
I mean, they successfully seal up most of the building, but then they lock. Then the they don't have suits on, so they start dying. And then Alan doesn't let the woman in.
Peter
doesn't let the woman in, and she tries to shoot him, but she kind of dies pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, this gas is like flesh eating bacteria. Practically, it just like chews through your flesh.
Amy seemed to survive pretty long.
Yeah, she was the only one. I'm not sure.
I think that was more a play to make us think that she could actually be immortal. To, like, see her, like,
but
surviving
that was
a little bit.
After the reveal.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that
but she's running through it before the reveal.
Well, I guess the difference is we've already discussed the possibility that her being part immortal, like, at this point, she's like 7/8 or like some crazy bigger fraction.
Yeah, maybe that's
immortal, because like it's not enough to make her fully immortal, silver-eyed, like live forever, but it because Michael and like
because she was bred into being kind of immortal.
Yeah,
it kind of let her survive a little bit. I can buy that
would explain because Landry survives this crazy fall where he bounced around a lot more than Sergio
called it.
But, yeah, I mean, well, okay.
Before we get into Landry, let's finish up.
Yeah, with Pete and
so
Anne.
So the plan B, yeah, so Anne is there with Peter, and he's like, all about it.
He's playing with the baby. He's like,
you got a baby.
I got a baby.
Is the baby okay? You're covered in blood. Oh, the baby's fine. I just cover in blood sometimes.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, so, I mean, basically, they have now become a team with Pete and Anne and potentially Landry.
Potentially, well. Landry. So we talk about Landry. Landry gets up and kills those two guys from before. I think they're the same guys that, like, was trying to prevent Alan from going into the orchard place.
Sounds about right.
The guy looks familiar.
They're part of Michael's, like, selected little guard,
yeah,
which Landry was in charge of.
The guys who were left after the genocide, like, that he brought out to guard the outside. And Landry, I'm doing this for you.
Landry smash! Landry angry!
I'm a baby Rufus. That's more what I'm thinking.
Well, I was thinking. Well, I got to give a shout out where shout outs are due. Let me go through my Twitter to get the exact quote from Mr. Landry his self, his old bad self. Sean Tucker, shout out, says, since Billy and everyone else sounds like Batman when you imitate them, if you honor Hendry with an imitation,
they don't sound like Batman.
He says Hulk. He says Hendry is now Hulk.
Okay.
So he's still Hendry. If you take the H from Hulk and put it on Landry, he's still Hendry.
Still Hendry. Aw.
You wouldn't like good. Him when he's got rubber gloves in his room.
Ooh, yeah, I really wouldn't like that because that's his sister, dude.
So Hendry is discovered by Anne, and he, like, holds her over the balcony.
Well, she tells him that she's basically telling him what he doesn't want to hear. She's like, you need to let go of this obsession with Amy because it's going to get you killed. Because she knows, like, she's well aware of whatever's going on with her two children.
Yeah.
This horrifying thing. Not that she has a lot of good relationships to point to.
So Anne actually gives Amy an ultimatum and says, I'm giving you this chance. You need to obey now or I can't protect you. And Amy's like, I'm going to be immortal because I need it. Gotham needs me.
Yeah.
And so... That's why Anne is giving that one reach out to Amy, and now she's giving the reach out to Landry, who does not kill her. So we're assuming Landry is on her team now.
Yeah.
So now we got the Peter, Anne, and Landry team.
So I would call them Team Abby.
Team Pandry Anne.
I was just going simpler and being like they're representing
Team Abby.
The Abby.
All right. They're the Abby Lee Dance Company.
There's the Abby team, and then we have the CDC team, and then we have the Silver team. Well, the Silver Monkeys, if you will.
The CDC team's pretty sparse at this point.
Yeah, it's basically Alan, Kyle.
I guess Kyle's
but
cured
in like,
now.
Yeah, well, cured is a strong word. He's been injected with the
we don't know yet.
So let's go through that whole plot line, because basically it's the Coast Guard's like, we got to get out, and they're not doing a great job. They're going to die. All communications have been jammed. But then you have Alan trying to
invent the cure
because he has the ingredients. He has the blood of somebody, a survivor. That's a big part of any vaccination, and something that clearly is not curing it, but
staving it off.
Yeah, there's a word for that I am forgetting.
Stopping in its tracks, delaying it.
No, well, either way,
treating the symptoms.
It's a treatment, not a cure.
Yeah. So he basically shows Soren how to make the cure, but then before he can, he's told by Peter that Julia is looking for him in the Botanary Plaza, whatever you want to call it, the Botany Lab, the Garden Center.
There's the Botany Lab.
The Botany Lab. So he goes in there, obviously a trap, and Soren sees what's happening, and then we get a nice little double Dr. Double McCott Dick Texas using his little snare skills to hang him up.
Dr. Dick Texas is enough.
Dr. Double Mycott Dick Texas strings him up in a snare, basically hanging him. And
I liked him shouting like he's a freaking cowboy when he stares him. Woo!
That's the Texas coming out. Yeah. Soren sees this. Peter's trying to talk to him, but he's not hearing it. Soren goes and makes the cure, stabs it into
his making the cure was literally just like taking out the red sap into a syringe and then stabbing.
I think it was like Summers a concoction the... of the red sap with his blood or something.
Was it?
Yeah, stabs it into Dr. Double Mycott Dick Texas. He falls over. He cuts the rope and lets Peter go. And that's kind of the last we see of Peter this episode. Was him like, oh, you did that yourself?
Alan,
yeah, sorry. Oh, you did that yourself? Good job.
Yeah, he's got a little mentor kid now.
Yeah. Now he can...
Now we just have to wonder if Soren is going to grow up to change his name to Caleb.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. I still think it's... we got to find out what's going on with the Forever Fetus. The Forever Fetus is like the chip in play right now. Because they didn't put it in Amy, so it's still in that jar that's slowly leaking.
It's not leaking, I thought.
Well, they tried to get Mother... And that's what we'll go into. Let's talk Sarah.
Yeah, so...
Sarah, Julia, and Amy.
Yeah, crazy old Silver Amy now.
They basically agree despite Sarah's protests.
And Julia just keeps saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. So they go into surgery. She wakes up. She's got silver eyes. And the audience is like, they made her immortal. What the
what?
F? OMG. That's
yeah,
a different
I,
way.
They that was legit. Like, look, this reveal at the end with the eyes, I'll admit, that caught me by surprise.
I kind of expected it a little bit.
I think I had the thought at one point, but then I dismissed it.
Because I thought, like, why don't they just change the color of her eyes? And then I saw that they weren't doing that, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess they really made her immortal. And then I was like, ah, they got me.
Yeah, the thought crossed my mind, but I wrote it off because it just seemed like when she wakes up with the silver eyes, it's just like, okay, it fits. It would have been interesting. It is a fair question, though, that, like, how do you implant a baby into somebody like that, like a later stage fetus?
It's basically an abortion, but reverse.
You say that, but I don't know if it works like that.
It includes a lot of, like, shoving and anesthesia.
People are actually conjuring up horrifying...
picket signs when you leave, like congratulating you. Like the picketers are like, you rock.
Let's go past
this. They're pro-anti-abortion.
No, we're not starting this. I am just putting... No. Anyway.
It's called a re-abortion.
Julia and Sarah, it's a smart move on Julia's part. Like, it was smart. At one point they go off and they find Sergio's dead body. Confirmation.
I don't want to talk about this yet. I don't want to talk about it yet.
I know, it hurts.
I don't want to talk about it yet. Let's finish up with Sarah and Julia before I talk about Sergio.
All right.
So it turns out that... Anyway, it turns out they didn't make her immortal, but she thinks she is, so they tell her that Mother is in this this tree stump, because where on an island full of trees would you hide a root in a tree?
I mean, that's fair.
It's fair. Nobody would ever look there. She's never going to find it. So she goes out, and Julia goes and gets the Trump, the Mother, and right as the dust starts pouring over everyone... Amy's dancing about because apparently there's no reason to be freaked out by clouds of gas when you think you're immortal. Julia's just running through the gas, and when she finally gets there, Mother is shriveled up because they killed Mother with the gas, which is sad.
Yeah.
So now the only chip in play again, what I say, is Forever Fetus because Mother's dead, and without Mother, there's no way to get this out. So I'm pretty much assuming at this point... We're just to assume they're going to release Narvik C.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the future, it always sounded like Narvik was released.
Yeah.
The way they talk about the world, like, I assumed that Narvik had to get out one way or the other.
Well, even Caleb says both my parents were killed by the disease.
And it could have been the mycotic disease, whatever we're calling it.
I think Narvik C... I still think there's got to be a way Narvik C binds with that, and that's what creates it.
The immortals. That makes sense.
Because I think what we decided a few weeks ago was the 1-2 punch, which it screws over them because they're thinking that it's going to kill off some of the population, and then they can monitor it. Mm-hmm. But then Narvik C is going to kill off the ability to reproduce, and then you're going to have a...
You mean this... This disease... The mycotic thing doesn't affect reproduction.
Well, we don't know that.
But I don't think that it kills you. It doesn't just, like, castrate you. Like, Mother would have with the apples. But all of that, the apples themselves, maybe he's got some stuff in the botany lab that might be safe. But, like, with Mother dead, theoretically, the red Ziz tree is dead, too.
Theoretically.
That may be the last red sap. I mean, maybe it's an immortal tree.
I wonder if, like, those apples made you lose the urge or just, like, made you infertile.
I think it just made you infertile. Like, completely.
If they, like, sold those apples in stores, people would definitely buy them.
Well, that's the thing. That's what... That was Julia's plan, basically, is to just introduce these apples into the general population. And so people eat them, they make them into other foods, and they just
waste... I'm saying, like, if you, like, advertised it, even in this world, like, this is an apple that can make you infertile for, like, a month or two or whatever.
No, but this is for life.
Even then, like, this is an apple that can make you infertile for life. Do you want to eat it?
No. Even if I'm not planning to have kids, that just sounds like a ton of stuff could go wrong.
But it's delicious. It's like a delicious red apple.
I'll just go get a Honeycrisp apple that's not gonna castrate me.
I'm gonna just go have my Honeycrisp Viagra apple instead of my Honeycrisp infertility apple.
Yeah, exactly. That's how all medications will be delivered in the future. There's via apples.
There's like another island that has like apples that are like, they make you give birth to 12 babies, like you give birth to a litter instead.
Oh, God. No, I don't want that apple either.
That had to be the apple that Eve ate because, you know, you got to repopulate the earth with Adam and Eve. And, you know, there's that symbolism in this show with the Adam and Eve and the apple of truth or whatever the apple is.
Yeah, I mean, you have... Look, we literally hung a guy up in an upside-down cross this week on Helix. They're not being shy on the religious symbolism.
Have you seen the symbol right here?
I know. There's literally a man on a cross.
There's literally a guy on a cross.
A CDC member in a hazmat suit on a cross covered in yellow ziz.
Covered in, like, web-like honey.
Ziz.
Web-like ziz honey.
Yeah.
Zunny.
It's a web of ziz.
It's a web of ziz.
Hashtag web of ziz.
There you go.
So, yeah. Right. So it looks like, basically, Narvik's gonna come out. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
People are going to die.
The question is, where is future Julia right now? Because we haven't seen her for days.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, and honestly, I'm sad. I forgot the thought that I was going to make because I feel like I'm going to make it later and not now.
Okay. Well, we got to talk about Sergio. Poor old Sergio.
What a waste! Like, what a waste of
this
a
is
character.
Why I said I was I thought he was alive last week. There was no fanfare behind his death.
There wasn't a fanfare behind Hitaki's death either.
It just happened, and then we moved forward. But Sergio was such a great character. And, like, this season, he didn't get a lot to do. I wanted more Sergio because I felt like after what his character achieved last season in terms of growth as a person, in terms of just, like, what Mark Ganame had been able to do with the character, I thought it had been really fun. We never got to find out if he put a baby in Julia. I mean, I guess he still could have.
I am just... I love the show, but I just feel like we've lost a lot of potential.
There's a lot of plot lines that we're missing. Because, like, last season there was a ton of world building, and that's sort of what I loved about the show. It's one of the things that I really latched onto.
It felt like it was setting up something for 3 seasons, 4 seasons. Like, it felt like you're really building a strong foundation to build upon.
Yeah, because there were tons of different things that were going on. With Sergio, one of the plot lines that I was looking forward to learning more about is the kids. Banana and the kids. Like, Sergio has this whole thing with Inanna.
We don't even need Inanna to go into the kids.
But it doesn't even... You're right, it doesn't need Inanna. But, like, that whole thing, their mission together, and you can separate them and just send Sergio to do it. But I want to know what happened to those kids, because you get the feeling, like, Hitake did experiments on them, right? And then he released them into the world. What happened to those kids?
I mean, we haven't...
Could they be surviving Narvik because of whatever he did to them?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, we really haven't brought much of anything except for the characters from season 1 into season 2.
And Narvik, loosely.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, it's kind of interesting because it is its own kind of separate entity. It's on St. Germain's Island and all this, but, I mean, we haven't seen the Scythe. We haven't seen what kind of happened and to get Julia to where she was.
Well, we got a little bit of that this week. We finally got Alan and Julia back in a scene together. Because I hadn't actually realized it until this moment. Even though they were on the island together for a couple episodes, they haven't met yet. They haven't, like, run into each other. And this was, I think, my favorite scene of this week's episode. Because it finally felt like, oh, things are connecting. Because they talk about, like, she told him, find me. When she was on the helicopter at the finale, in the finale last year. She's like, find me. And that's really... And Alan basically admits that's been his goal like, why he killed all of these immortals, why he blew up the Ilaria building in Paris, is because he was trying to find Julia. Meanwhile, she's sitting on the board, just chilling.
Yeah.
Like, didn't think once, maybe, like, this guy's going around killing a lot of people. My coworkers, maybe I should put in a phone call.
Hey, Alan.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
No, Julia, you're alive? Because clearly he doesn't know what happened to her. He doesn't know she's on the board.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, I think he does, actually.
Now he does.
No, I think he knew at the end of season one, right? When he's outside that big building?
No, at the end of last season, he was definitely looking for her.
Okay. Oh, that's true, yeah. Because that was Peter and...
It was Peter and Alan. And they were definitely looking for Julia.
That's right.
Peter obviously knew. But Alan was trying to find Julia. So he's beating that old silver, like, within an inch of his life. Or
that's right.
Probably a lot of yards because he's immortal. But... he doesn't know, and so to find out, it's a massive betrayal because he's been on this path to find her, to save her. He destroyed his life over it, and she didn't even care to, like, get in touch with him.
Ex-wives, am I right?
Yeah, but another thing, they had the two canisters. They really set that up as, like, a big plot point. Which canister was on the helicopter? Which canister does Alan have? And we kind of forgot about it. Like, it became irrelevant.
All right, so if we're talking about things... All right, so Hitaki's dead.
Yes, we got that confirmed from Tiff.
Yeah, Hitaki's dead. When he sat down at the table with everyone, that was him dying. Now, Sergio's dead. Sergio's dead. Okay, so Hitaki...
In fairness, it is science fiction. Anybody can come back to life in sci-fi.
I know. Okay, so Hitaki's dead. He was the most interesting character of season one.
Hitaki?
Without fail, the most interesting character of season one.
I'm trying to think. But yeah, I mean, he was definitely up there.
I mean, aside from Peter, Hitaki and Peter were pretty much the interesting driving forces of season one. Hitaki's dead now. Sergio had a great storyline in season one. It had so much potential for where it could go. And we know that it's, like, very difficult to tie that in a second season when you're doing it in such a different area.
Yeah.
But, again, he just turned into, like, the man whore for Julia, and then his fingers were stomped on and he's killed off. Very kind of a lackluster ending for a character that we've really, like... we've had such an arc with this character of when he's first introduced to us, like, fuck that guy. Such
Whoa.
An ass.
Whoa.
No, like when he's in season
Clean
one.
Clean your mouth out with
when
soap,
when he's in
sir.
Season one, we're like, that guy's an ass. And then he grows on us because we learn what's behind it. And then we're still wondering if he's a good or bad guy. Then we learn what his intentions are. Then we learn about his history. And by the end of season one, we're wondering what is going to happen with Sergio. He becomes an interesting character. Season two, we see him in a building with awkward window. And then the next time we see him, he gets, like, a good scene with Amy. Otherwise, he's just looking around.
Yeah,
and then we kill him.
That was his best scene this season, by far. I loved that scene.
That was the only scene with him in the season. And then he's killed off. And all of these great storylines that we were looking forward to with this character are non-existent and can never come back because they decided to kill off a character because he's effectively been replaced with Matt Long, which I love Matt Long as Double Mycotic Texas, Dr. Double Mycotic Texas.
He has, you know what, we started the season with him and we all kind of didn't like him. I think we were just missing Sergio, but you're right. He's become a good character. I like him as a person. He's actually somewhat heroic as opposed to everybody else.
I like Dr. Double Mycotic Texas.
Maybe you could call him Dr. Summers when you're saying positive things about him.
Dr. Summers. I like Dr. Summers. I think Matt Long does a great portrayal of the character, and I think it's taken us on a good arc with that character, and I can't wait to see where we're going next with him. But I also feel like if you're going to introduce new characters, you need them to have their own kind of arcs, but you need to keep your old characters.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to make sure that your old characters, the characters that built the show, have got their own room to play. And maybe there's stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about actor availability tends to play a big role in stuff like this, where, like, this person wasn't available for the first 3 weeks of filming, so we had to shorten their character's arc for the entire season because of it. And we don't know. There's a million factors that go into any television season.
It's just one of those things that I was really looking forward to this season that I don't know if we're going to move into it in season three. If we get a season three, and I hate to reference Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones does this phenomenally.
Let's be careful now.
You have a world where decisions affect the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And you have characters that we care about that are nowhere near the other characters. So I feel like Sergio's storyline was going nowhere near being involved with Julia or being involved with Saint Germain's at all. I feel like his storyline was going more into investigating Ilaria like Alan's. And I feel like we could have had a separate location storyline happening.
We could have done maybe pair him up with Madame Durand.
Because if you think about it, if you team Alan with Sergio, investigating Ilaria, discovering this entire Narvik Sea subplot of they're going to wipe out the population,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Julia at Ilaria going to Saint Germain's with where Peter and Sarah are, then you have them discovering this other way to stop it, and you can have two overarching stories come together in the end at a main focal point.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, if you like I said, I think it would have been a really cool dynamic to see Sergio with Madame Durand, the little girl who's 500 years old, put them on an undercover investigation within Ilaria, very simple location that you're dealing with there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we already had half of it that we've seen this season. And while they're doing that, maybe at that point we think that Narvik's not going to be released for a few months. And then they uncover on day 11 or 12, it's coming out in 2 days. The world's going to end. And Julia's like, they just killed Mother on the island. The world is over. And then but that could be like, but you're right. Those kind of separate storylines that come together at an unexpected point.
It gives you something to look forward to. In season one, we had something to look forward to. We could see the storylines of different characters, and we could see where they could potentially intersect in the future. I just haven't felt that. It's been more like I watch an episode, and I honestly have no clue what's going to happen, which can be great.
It's a fun ride, but I want to know what's happening. I want to be able to have crazy thoughts about seasons 3 and 4 and 5.
I just want to know that if I make 12 predictions in episode 1 or 2, that there's some way in hell that they can maybe come to fruition. But I'm not given enough information in this case, and then it just seems all these things seem so far out of left field that I can't really follow the show.
I get you.
I'm just everything that I think could happen that my mind really plays to. It's just everything is so random. Like, it doesn't feel like there was a set plan of, we're here, we're going to move here, we're going to move here. It feels like we're here, let's go 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 here, and hope we end up here.
Well, I think they had a plan for this season. It's very clear that they did. They have built it, and there have been threads that have been sort of hinting. But you're right, stuff does sometimes come out of left field. Plan B, for example. If we'd known about this gas thing in episode 2... and we didn't see it again for a while, or it was mentioned that there was a plan B and we had to figure out what that was, then this becomes a reveal as opposed to something that it's just like, and then this happened.
Imagine you open season 2 with an island and a bunch of cult members on a different island running as everyone's gassed to death.
Well, I think that the idea, this is what you're talking about, is... because we have gotten this a little bit.
Yeah.
We get the future of this island.
Exactly.
And that's the, hey, look, this is what's going to happen 30 years in the future. This is the world. So let's see what factors play into
that. We still
that
have
world.
To see this building explode. Because in the future, you see it all broken down and things like that.
Yeah, but 30 years on an island where all the plant life has died.
And storms,
it
I
could
guess.
Just, yeah, it could just crumble.
I want to see it explode.
I mean... everybody loves a good explosion, but I don't know what they have on this island that would actually explode.
I want an explosion.
Maybe Dr. Dick Tex is carrying a grenade on it.
We can make teeth bombs.
Oh, God. Teeth bombs. On the note of teeth bombs, why don't we go into next week's episode and talk predictions.
Teeth bombs.
And now, you're after. AfterBuzz.
And like, what's going to happen?
Like a paint grenade where it just like scatters teeth in all directions.
Yeah, it's very morbid.
They did have barrels of teeth, apparently.
It is the preferred weapon of choice from the dentist.
God. Anyway,
you can convert teeth with a giant pillow to lots of money.
I'm not even sure what we're looking at next week, except that it looks like straight up horror movie. Like, more than any other Helix episode, at least the preview for next week looks like a full on just like horror movie.
I didn't actually see it, sadly. The preview got cut off for me.
Okay.
Tell me what happens.
It was a lot of flashes. Like, there's Peter and Anne, I think, were like hunting characters down. I think there's sort of like a hunt on like this dead island, we already know that Pete and Anne, like, their goal is to kill everyone. They want to, Peter and Anne want to eliminate everyone. No one leaves the island,
just so Peter and Anne can have their James Bond island and just make babies for the rest of the world,
have their James Bond island. And then,
Marissa, would you tell those people out there to quiet down? That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, we're talking Helix. We have two more episodes left. So do you have any finale predictions?
Let me just think for a second. It just sucks because I was right about Amy dying in episode 11. I did call that.
That is true.
I gotta give
you props for that. Although her eye did not close.
She's dead. I think I'm wondering if Handry's the one that kills Peter.
Interesting. I know that he's not going to like Peter.
Because I think that Peter kills Anne, probably, once he realizes she's betraying him because she wants control of the island. I think she's playing him, and I think she doesn't really want him to be Mother Michael. I think she wants everything for herself.
I would say, my prediction on that, I think that Alan is going to kill Anne, and that's going to be his like wake up Peter a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a brother on brother brawl between the two of them. I think we have to be building towards a big fight between the two.
Yeah, we're definitely building between a fight between the two.
We know that Julia gets off the island. We know that for a fact. We know that eventually plant life grows back on the island.
Oh, Ryan Witalison makes a good point. Hitaki's dead 30 years in the future. We don't know how he gets to the island in the present.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I assume that it's something like they know, because Julia leaves. She must know that Ilaria knows that Saint Germain exists. So maybe he just goes into the Ilaria database and like goes there. Maybe he even goes there looking for Michael.
He could go there looking for Julia.
It's true.
I'd say that's a good chance. I'm trying to think of what could happen. It's just kind of difficult to imagine because all the characters I like had long-term predictions for are pretty much dead. I mean, Amy was really a great part of the series.
Yeah,
she's dead. Brother Michael was
light in this season.
Brother Michael's been was phenomenal. He's dead. Hitaki's dead in the future. Peter's kind of outed as this terrible person now, so I'm wondering how they're going to play up with that. I think there still needs to be a major betrayal, and I think it's Anne wanting to actually be immortal. I think Anne's setting this up so she can take Michael's place in this, and I think we see a scene with her pregnant.
I don't know that Anne wants immortality. I think she wants to run it. But I don't know that she actually wants immortality this way. More immortality through family kind of thing. I think if we're going to get a betrayal, it's going to come from Julia. I think Julia is going to, like, realizing that, like, she's lost at this point. Narvik sees coming out. I think she'll turn on everyone else and bail.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're looking at. She's going to bail. She's going to get off the island and leave everybody else to die. If Helix doesn't get renewed, that's a freaking ending.
Random left field prediction. Julia finds, in the future, Julia finds Anne in the basement of the monastery, hooked up with, like, just like one of those other girls, with all her teeth missing, and the fetus is inside her, and she's immortal, stuck there for all eternity.
Whoa!
In the eternity ward. You like that? You like that? The meternity ward. It's like a maternity ward, except like eternity. All right,
that's gonna do it for us here at AfterBuzz TV's Helix After Show, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to know what you guys think. What did you like this episode? Did you not? What do you think? What are your predictions for our last two? Go on to iTunes. Go on to YouTube. Let us know in the comments and the ratings.
I think it's mad messed up they killed Sergio, though.
Stephen Lemieux, we got to get out of here.
You can find me mourning Sergio's death on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIEUX. You should check out our after show for Better Call Saul last night with special guest Michael Mando.
It was awesome.
It was great. And then you will not see me for the next 5 days because I will be at my brother's wedding.
Woo!
But if you guys want to tweet at me Steven's all brother. These things, tweet at me at Stephen Lemieux.
Yeah, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. A bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Coming up in just a little bit, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Archer season finale is coming on Thursday. Be sure to tune in. Guys, I'm Zach Wilson, and thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Ziz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.